Simon Reish Lamed Vav, entitled Berchas Krishma Shel Arvis, begins as follows. Bo'erev, in the evening, Mevarech Shtayim Lefnei Krishma or Shtayim Lacharah, which of course we're familiar with. We're not going to be really focusing on the brachos, but the paragraph that precedes Baruchos we'll discuss in a second. But just to introduce and to translate the words of the Shulchan Aruch, that there are two brachos that are recited before Kriya Shema by Marav, of course, that we're familiar also with the two brachos that are said thereafter. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us as follows. The Haminhag Lomar Behurachu. It doesn't mention anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch about saying the sentences that precede Baruchu, but nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah does tell us that there is a special minhag that we recite these sentence of Behurachu. Kodim Tfilas Arvis, before we begin Marv. So you can think, okay, Kodim Tfilas Arvis, so you can say it, and after you say it, after you say Baruch Hu, so it's not really part of Marv. So he says, the reality is, V'do you should know, the Mashem Avor L'El, mentioned previously in the Mishnah Berurah, the Achar Baruch Hu, that once Baruch Hu is recited, Dinu Ke'emsa HaPerek, not to get into all the intricate details, but it's considered as though you are literally in the middle of a paragraph, in which one certainly is not allowed to talk. And then he says, the Iker Baruch Hu Shomer Hashatz, HaKavana Baruch Hu Shemabaruch Na Olam Acher Kach. The purpose of the Baruch Hu is actually to introduce and to begin the brachos that will immediately follow thereafter. And therefore he says, V'kivan She'anu Ha'olam Baruch Hu, and since we together respond by saying Baruch Hu, HaVikilu Hischil HaBracha. As though we've actually began the paragraph number one, even though we actually didn't technically say it. And therefore, Pashut, it's very obvious. The Ein L'chalik Bein Shachris L'Arvis. When Baruch Hu is said, it doesn't make a difference if it's the one which we'll be saying shortly tonight, or the Baruch Hu which is recited after Pesukah D'Zimra in the morning. Well, if he's then, for this reason, since we're not going to make any distinctions between the two, Sarach L'Zahir Ma'od, one has to be exceedingly cautious. Very, very cautious. Shlo is saper acher baruchu de arvus. Once baruchu is said, you no longer are allowed to talk. So you can say, well, one second, well, maybe baruchu was said, but I didn't actually get into this paragraph. So this is a field kodim shehizchil levarach abracha rishoyin. If you didn't begin the bracha of asher bidvaro, doesn't make a difference. Once baruchu was said and you heard it and you responded, at that point you no longer allowed to you're not allowed to talk anymore. And he says, im daito lehispalil oz marav yimatzibor. Obviously, if you hear it, you already davened, doesn't mean you can't talk for the rest of the night, right? But it means that if you're planning on davening marav in that with that minion, the minion that you heard Baruch Hu, you're no longer allowed to talk. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes this paragraph with a very, very strong language. He says, Vavonosenu harabim, based on the numerous mistakes that we make in our generation, harbi anoshim nichsholim bazeh. Many, many people make mistakes in this particular area. So the Mishnah Berurah is really trying to drive home that even though he didn't begin paragraph number one, once Baruch Hu is said, one is not allowed to talk. And something which maybe we could try to focus our attention on to make sure that that's not done. The Pesukei Tshuvos, this gives another example. He says, so let's say, for example, you did not yet say Vahurachum, these two sentences, and you just happened to have heard Baruch Hu. So, of course, you're going to respond and say the response. And the question is, should you thereafter say Vahurachum? It's only a couple sentences, and then it's no big deal, and then you can just move on. So he says as follows, Vim lo hispik lomer shiramalos, for those who say Shir HaMalos, oh, Behurachum. He didn't say Behurachum, and the Shliach Tzibur already said Baruch Hu. Lo Yomrum L'Acher, and he also, Baruch Hashem. After you said the response of Baruch Hashem and Baruch, etc., no longer should you say Behurachum, rather you should Yashim and Mirasim L'Acher Tefila. If you do want to say these two sentences, you may, but you should only do it after the Shmona Esrei. So once you said Baruch Hu, not only are you not allowed to talk, that goes without saying. But even to say Bahu Rachum after Baruch Hu, that we don't do. You just go into the paragraph, and if you want to say Bahu Rachum, one may do so after. So the question certainly is worthwhile presenting and asking, if in fact the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, so why in fact does the Mishnah Berurah introduce that this is something which we have the minhag of doing? What is the symbolism, the significance of Bahu Rachum? So I'm going to share with you a couple of answers cited in the Piskei Tshuvos, but before I'd like to take the liberty of just reading the short paragraph that's actually found in the Aruch Kol Siddur. He quotes the words of the Toldos Yaakov and says that the night represents darkness, judgment, suffering. Therefore the custom developed to recite this verse that calls upon Hashem's mercy. This particular verse is especially apt because it has 13 words alluding to Hashem's 13 attributes of mercy. So he ties in the sentence of Bahu Rachum, which has in it exactly 13 words, to correspond to tapping into Hashem's abundant mercy, which represents those, also has the 13 words. It's brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos additional reasons. He says that if you think of Maariv, Maariv is different than Shacharis, and it's different than Mincha. He says, Ki ein b'layla karban hatomid. When it came in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, in which there were various offerings, one was the Tamid Shel Shachar, which now we have Shacharis, which represents that, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, which is the afternoon sacrifice. And what was the purpose? What was one of the purposes of these sacrifices? Shemachaper. It was a form of a kapara, an atonement for the mistakes, if you will, that a person would have made in the day, in the morning, and in the afternoon. However, there's no Tamid offering that was brought at night. So therefore he says, V'lchein mispalon anu al kapara. Therefore he says, the reason why we say Bahu Rachum, we say this sentence, is because it's a way for us to be able to ask for a kapara, for an atonement, for things that we've done, because we do not have a karban or anything else to be able to ask for this kapara. V'gam ekev chatoenu kol hayom. Furthermore, we have to think about the fact that now it's night, we've had an entire day, and hopefully our day was filled with a lot of good things and not so many things which we would regret. But at night is a time which we ultimately have to ask for the most kapara, because we're focusing our attention on all the things that we did throughout the entire day. And therefore, we may need kapara for that. When it comes also, another way of receiving atonement is the receiving of lashes, of malchus. And we know that malchus is 39. There's 39 malchus. He gives another reason as the symbolism of why we specifically say this, because, and this is actually on Erev Yom Kippur, for those that have the custom of receiving malchus, the sentence of Bahu Rachum is said because of 13, and it's said three times, which of course would equal 39. And therefore, this is another way that one could receive kapara. Of course, we only say it once. But Od Nostu Tam Apia Zohar Kadosh, he gives a more mystical reason. He says, Shabalaila Sholdim Hamazikin Hanikurim Afachem of Mashkas. He says that in the nighttime, there are certain dangers that lurk. The Ali de Amiras Pasuk Zeh Bekavana Mevatim Koichim Shalmazikin Elu. At night, when a person is more apt to perhaps violate mitzvos, so by saying Bahu Rachum with Kavana is a way to fortify you to make sure that you do not do any averos. I once heard in conclusion the question if in fact the whole purpose of Bahu Rachum is because of some type of a kapara for something that we did wrong throughout the entire day. So the question is asked on Motzei Yom Kippur, when we begin the Maariv service, we do also begin with the sentence of Bahu Rachum. You can ask, I was just in shul the entire day, so how come I need to ask for kapara? And some jokingly say, or maybe not jokingly, the way that we daven that Maariv, perhaps we need to ask for kapara so that we'll be davening properly as we did for Nila.